The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, today, as you know, is the first full day of events for Donald Trump's second state visit to the United Kingdom. The president will travel to Windsor Castle today, where he will be welcomed by King Charles. Departing the White House yesterday, Donald Trump was already clearly looking forward to all the pomp and the ceremony.
Well, my relationship is very good with the UK, and Charles, as you know, who's now king, is my friend. And it's the first time this has ever happened where somebody was honored twice, so it's a great honor. And this one's at Windsor. They've never used Windsor Castle for this before. They use Buckingham Palace. And I don't want to say one's better than the other, but they say Windsor Castle is the ultimate, right? So it's going to be nice. But basically, I'm there also on trade. They want to see if they can refine the trade deal a little bit. We made a deal, and it's a great deal. And I'm into helping them. Our country is doing very well. We've never done this well. We're having trillions of dollars come in because of the tariffs. And they'd like to see if they could get a little bit better deal. So we'll talk to them. But primarily it's to be with Prince Charles and Camilla. They're friends of mine for a long time, long before he was king. And it's an honor to have him as king. And, you know, I think he represents the country so well. I've watched. He's such an elegant gentleman. And he represents the country so well.
However, not all shared the excitement of the president. Protests are planned for central London today. And last night, four people were arrested after those images of Donald Trump with sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, Prince Andrew was in there as well. They were projected onto a tower at Windsor Castle. Joining us now, Enda Brady, international TV news anchor with TRT World. Enda, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat. Good to speak to you again.
Now, the news overnight, of course, was the arrest of those four people for malicious communication. It was quite a stunt.
It was very clever. And look, the images were only up for a matter of minutes until they were found. Clearly, there's aerial surveillance of Windsor Castle always anyway, but it's enhanced for the guests who are coming today. They were found very, very quickly. Look, it's a left-wing organisation called Led by Donkeys. They've done this before. They targeted the Conservative government, all of the scandals of Liz Truss and all the Boris Johnson and the previous leaders. This is their trick. They put up projections of images onto, you know, Big Ben, Houses of Parliament, we've seen before. And last night, spectacular coup for them, even though four people have now been arrested, those images flashing around the world.
Now, it's interesting, you can be arrested for projecting stuff on Windsor Castle and be accused of malicious communication. There is so much malicious communication online and nobody's arrested.
Yes, of course. And look, if you look at where the UK is going at the moment, the really ironic thing is President Trump and JD Vance in particular seem to have an issue with what they call a crackdown on freedom of speech in the UK, that people are going to prison for Facebook posts and what have you. You know, we've heard the Trump administration being very vocal about the lack of freedom of speech in the UK. I shouldn't imagine he'll be pushing that one too much today after what happened last night.
Now, the routine for him today. Today is all about pomp and ceremony, isn't it? And to make him feel good. So what have they got in store for him?
So there will be a carriage procession through the grounds of the Windsor Royal Estate. It is absolutely spectacular. I've been inside it. I've been inside the castle. I've been around that estate many times. It is stunning. The weather's not great today. It's damp. It's not going to rain too much, but it's not your typical kind of Irish or English autumn day.
And would you say the president is right when he says that maybe Windsor Castle has the edge over Buckingham Palace?
Yes, I've been inside both. I've been in the gardens of Buckingham Palace. I've been inside Buckingham Palace. I've been inside Windsor Castle, and give me Windsor all day long. You know, Buckingham Palace, it's undergoing a multi-million pound renovation. This was needed to have been done in the mid-80s. They're only just doing it now. Buckingham Palace, you'll see bits of chipped wall. You know, you look at some of the painting and the finishing in some of the areas. It's not great, and these are the public areas. It needs an awful lot of money spent on it. Charles doesn't like Buckingham Palace. If you notice, whenever he stays in central London, he stays at his old place, at Clarence House, where he always lived when he was Prince of Wales and stayed in London. He doesn't do any business out of Buckingham Palace whatsoever. Windsor Castle all day long, and you've got the history, the heritage, and, you know, there's stuff in there that's several centuries older than the United States of America.
Now, all this is being done for the cameras because no public will be there.
No protests, no public. It's a zero-risk strategy from Starmer. He's an extremely cautious man anyway, but this is not just one prime minister's stamp on a state visit. All the diplomats, all the officials, the men in suits behind the scenes and the women in suits, they will have sat down and they will have thought, you know, what's the biggest risk this week? Protests, a member of the public getting near Trump, someone throwing paint or an egg, or, you know, none of that is going to happen. It just will not be possible. The way they've arranged it, it will be a completely private carriage procession, same as they did with President Macron last month. So we will see the TV images. They'll allow in a couple of very hand-picked and vetted camera operators, and that is it.
And there'll be an aerial display with the red arrows, and, you know, Londoners will be able to see something of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, the people on the ground will see the red arrows, and I'm told that American military aircraft will be joining in as well. And the briefing to journalists last night from the palace and all the royal sources was that this will be the biggest ever in living memory state visit for any world leader at any time in any decade. So there's not an inch of red carpet left in London that they're not going to use. For all the UK's problems right now, and there are many, many problems for the ordinary people who live here and work here, they can throw a party when they want to, and they will leave no stone unturned for Trump and his family this week.
Now, as he clip-clops around with the estate at Windsor Castle, there'll be no less than three different bands playing to accompany the proceedings.
Yeah, so you've got all the military bands. They'll have so many soldiers and military on display. You know, this is a transactional president. They want to make this guy feel amazing. And we know that he has always stated his love of the UK. His mother was from one of the Scottish islands. And it's interesting how various different leaders have treated him. So I heard a great story the other week. John McSwinney, who's the First Minister of Scotland and leader of the SNP in Scotland. Now, Scotland has huge issues, obviously, with whiskey being sold into the United States and being whacked with tariffs. That's what they're trying to reduce down. So when Trump came to his golf course in Aberdeenshire, he owns two golf courses in Scotland. So when he went up to Scotland in August for his little holiday and to play golf and to open a course in memory of his mother, McSwinney had gone away, done his research, and he had heard, so Trump doesn't drink, so there's no point giving him a 100-year-old bottle of scotch or the best whiskey in the world. Not interested. He's a teetotaler all his life. McSwinney had heard, and he got in touch with other world leaders, and they all said, oh, well, we all give him golf clubs. So you just think, how many sets of golf clubs could one man pushing 80 years of age actually need? So McSwinney said, no, we're not going down that route. Give me the archivists. So he got in touch with all of the people who archive genealogy, births, deaths, marriages in Scotland. And would you believe it? They got back to the Isle of Lewis in the Scottish Hebrides, all the way back to the 1850s. They found the original wedding certificate of Trump's mother's great-grandparents, and they framed it up and they presented that to him privately as a gift. And now that will have made an impact more than £2,000 worth of golf clubs.
Mind you, he wasn't that pleased when Merz, the Chancellor of Germany, gave him documents relating to his father. Anyway, that's another story entirely. Now, the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, was writing in The Guardian yesterday, and he said, President Donald Trump and his coterie have perhaps done the most to fan the flames of divisive far-right politics around the world in recent years. When he came to the UK on his first state visit, I highlighted how the president had deliberately used xenophobia, racism and otherness as an electoral tactic, introducing a travel ban on a number of Muslim-majority countries and praising white nationalists in Charlottesville, Virginia. 6 years later, the tactics we see from today's White House seem no different. Scapegoating minorities, illegally deporting US citizens, deploying the military to the streets of diverse cities. These actions aren't just inconsistent with Western values, they're straight out of the autocrat's playbook. He goes on to say he understands why the UK is laying on the pomp like it's doing, because it is a transactional visit. But at least there's one very public criticism of the president, which I'm sure no one will show him.
Precisely. Look, no one's going to say it to his face publicly, but there are many, many dissenting voices in London across the UK. People who are good, right-minded, hard-working public servants like Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London. I think it'll be interesting at that state banquet, you know, if Sadiq Khan were to get anywhere near Trump, and he's mayor of London, so it's his right, you know, if Sadiq Khan were to say this. And I'm sure Trump hears it privately from a lot of people. But I think, well, first of all, it's great that we live in such a democracy that the mayor of London is able to come out and speak exactly. And he's saying what a lot of people here think, you know, Trump is not a popular leader in the United Kingdom. So Sadiq coming out and writing that and saying it, a lot of people would say, and he's not a popular mayor with a lot of right-wing people, obviously, but a lot of people would applaud his right to say it and the fact that he is allowed to say it. But whether Starmer says anything like that privately behind closed doors, can't see that happening.
Now, there will be a press conference tomorrow, following political discussions at Chequers. The question is, can they control it? Because there will be an equal number of domestic media and US media who travel with the president, and he can control who gets on Air Force One with him, but he can't control on the British side who gets to ask questions.
I think this will be must-watch TV. I think it will be amazing to see how they handle it. Now, Starmer is not a brilliant communicator. If you watch, and I've spent all my life watching people answer questions, and if you look at how Blair used to handle a room, if Blair saw a question he didn't like or didn't immediately have an answer to, he would say, can we just park that for a moment? I'll come back to it. You know, Blair was able to work the room and manage the room and control the message. Starmer simply can't do that. And I think what you're going to see at that news conference is a British Prime Minister on British soil, with the lead being taken by the American president. And I think they will let Trump speak, but there will be questions about Jeffrey Epstein. Make no mistake about it. Trump has always said that he ceased all communication with the guy in 2004. And Trump's story is that that was because Epstein was stealing his staff from Mar-a-Lago in Florida. He will stick to that line. And I think it's more uncomfortable for Starmer, given that the emails that were going from Mandelson to Epstein imploring him to fight for early release. This was a man who'd been convicted of child sex offences in 2005. And Mandelson stayed my best pal. He wrote that in his birthday book. I mean, it is extremely damaging for Starmer. Starmer has more to lose this week than Trump, absolutely.
And of course, his own domestic political difficulties make it very difficult to distract using anything domestic to take away from the visit. The visit, rather, is distracting from the domestic. One final point. When Trump gets questions in the White House he doesn't like, he disparages the questioner, saying, you should be fired, you come from fake news, blah, 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 blah. If he tries to pull that stunt, you know, in the presence of a number of British journalists, that's not going to go down very well.
I don't think he will, actually. I think he has too much respect for Starmer and the UK institutions as they are, and British press. I think he's not going to call, you know, there'll be people from Channel 4, there'll be people from The Guardian, there'll be people who are left-wing. We've seen him disparage people, and if he gets a question he doesn't like, and it's a terrible way of fronting and presenting yourself to the media. Where are you from? Who? All right. You know, we've seen it all before, Pat, when he doesn't, you're fake news. You know, I don't think he's going to go down that path. Just one little thing to put on the radar. I think the one question away from the Mandelson situation, the one danger for Starmer is that Trump gets asked a question about Nigel Farage and how he is polling here at the moment, because Trump and Farage are extremely pally and close. And he is effectively the leader of the opposition now in the UK, even though he's got five MPs.
And I'm sure he'll face questions on Ukraine and Gaza as well. And how short the press conference will be. I mean, we saw in Alaska, Putin led the way and the whole thing was rather brief. So maybe there'll be some sort of tacit agreement between Starmer and Trump to keep it short.
Yeah, possibly. Look, there's always the men in suits in the background, and they will say, you get one question, say your name, where you're from, answer what question. And they always say, can you give us an idea what you will ask? I think you'll see the BBC will get a question. Sky News, probably Beth Rigby will definitely get a question. And after that, maybe ITV and a couple of American broadcasters. I think they will be trying to wrap that up as quickly as possible.
Enda Brady, International TV News Anchor for TRT World. Enda, thank you very much for joining us.